It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
And welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Ask Ross is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. And they have opened up the tailgate corner. If you make it out to the games, make your way over to the Nittany Mall in the Emporium in the mall. Some great barbecue sauces. Friday nights prior to all the home games, there's a tasting of their barbecue. They're also their award-winning wines.
Wonder where I was Friday night before the Idaho game.
I wonder. Also, if you go to the 409tailgateclub.com, there's a button there. Their next tailgate party is going to be for the Pitt game next week. Andrew, you also attended.
Yeah,
you were everywhere there was free food, weren't you?
When you work with Ross Tucker,
say his Ross invitation.
You learn from the master, right? So here's what I'll say. If you want a low-stress tailgate thing at the right price, that is the way to do it. It's right in the shadow of Beaver Stadium. It's fenced in. You have your own tailgate area. There's chairs. There's plenty of food and beer and wine. And then you literally walk 100 yards into the stadium. It's so convenient.
Just a little hint for a noon game. There'll be Bloody Marys and mimosas prior to that game. You can't top that, Andrew.
Is Pitt the noon game?
Yeah, correct, yes.
Pitt's nice. A noon game. So you got to do that breakfast thing. All right. You ready for some questions, guys?
Here we go.
I know I am. I don't know about Andy. I'm ready.
We're going to start with Steve from Huntington Valley. First, I want to say I attended the opener versus Idaho and stayed at GoPSURV. Had a great experience. Mark and his team have a great setup, and it was a fantastic weekend.
Excellent.
To mention, my RV neighbor was Mr. Andrew Shea.
Oh, what's his name again?
Steve from Huntington Valley.
So he brought his son. It was his son's first home game.
Okay.
Nice.
So
this is how you get your question asked. You suck up to one of our advertisers. All right. Steve, you're a smart man. Steve's question is two parts. One, should we be concerned about the offensive line play? They seem to struggle on third down and short yardage. 1 for 8 on third down. And also, he mentions that on special teams, the protection was poor for Gilligan's 2 punts. Number two, am I nuts for finding a negative in a 79-7 win?
You tried to find two negatives in a 79-7 win. I just think that I don't think the screws were necessarily tightened in some areas for Penn State. Mac Hippenhammer fumbled 2 punts, lost one of them. He's the backup punt returner. It was not going to be a perfect performance, but I just think that they have the talent to overcome. They didn't make 8 to 10 mistakes. They might have made 2 or 3. I wouldn't worry about the offensive line yet. I think once Rasheed Walker and CJ Thorpe get comfortable, you're going to see them mesh a little. I didn't like the 4th and 2 mesh fumble with Clifford and the running back. But I think this early in the year, you just kind of give them a little bit of a mulligan.
What about, Andy, the 1 for 8 on third down?
Yeah, that doesn't bother me because I think about it a little bit. I didn't think that was an offensive line thing, by the way. I didn't think they were responsible or the onus was on them, and that's why Penn State was 1 for 8 because they weren't doing their job. I thought it was a little early. Clifford was – didn't he overthrow Pat on third down? He threw one in the flat to Journey Brown, then he dropped. Yeah. I just think there was a little bit of circumstance. I did not like the call like you down by the goal line on the mesh fumble. And I was up in the stands with you sitting there. I'm like, this is lousy play calling. Like, another lousy play call. But I just think they didn't really open anything up very wide on third down because he didn't have to.
Steve Jones, the voice of the Lions, pointed out to me that just for everyone that's having a problem with third down, he said they gained 425 yards on first down.
There you go. So,
well, and I think
James, and I was like, well, that's a pretty good rebuttal.
I'm like, you don't have to say anything.
And I
more.
Believe when James was asked about staying on track, you know, what do you think is on track for third down? Well, it's making the first down on either first or second down, you know, not even getting there. All right. The next question. This is Brad from Doylestown. On your show, I've heard Bob talking up the Big Ten West.
Yes.
Specific, specifically Purdue and Minnesota and them being trap games. Now that Purdue lost and Minnesota barely won, what do you have to say about that prediction? And after week one, do you think someone else will be the trap game?
Purdue completely had that game won at Nevada, and just the last 10 minutes or so of that game, every kind of mistake they could have made, they did. They clearly weren't ready to play a full 60 minutes. I think that that team is going to get a lot better. That team that Minnesota struggled with, it was an FCS team that's really, really good.
And there's
there's a history of FCS teams taking some pretty good teams to the wire early in the season. Northwestern always starts slow. I think they lost all their non-conference games last year, and they won the Big Ten West. Nebraska struggled too, by the way.
And I seem to recall a Penn State team struggling with App State in game one. And they should have lost the game.
Right. I just think that the Big Ten West, you're just going to have to give them. I believe it's top to bottom. It's deeper than the Big Ten East, and I do think that I do think that Minnesota is still a trap game, and Penn State will have their hands full at Iowa.
Yeah, if you do too much analysis on the Big Ten West based on four quarters, that's just as dangerous as saying, you know, Penn State's going to be a top five team because they did so well in the first four quarters against Idaho. So you got to give it some time. Week one to week two jump's coming.
Well, it better be for some teams. But
it better be for some teams. I was more concerned about Minnesota than Purdue. I agree with you. The Minnesota thing was just muddy, not good football.
All right, let's move on. Lou from Shavertown, PA. He notes that is the town that Nick Ury built. Nick Ury reference, you got to love it.
I wonder what he's going to ask.
All right. What was your overall takeaway of the offensive line's performance? I know they put up 300-plus rushing yards, but wanted to get a better take on how they performed as a unit.
So I thought they exceeded my expectations of what I thought for the first game. I thought inside they were a little – the inside three were not quite as strong as I thought they'd be. I don't know. I saw a couple holes that I saw were gaping, and they were towards the left-hand side of the offensive line. Wonder who plays left tackle. I thought their new left tackle did a very good job.
Yeah, you just got to allow for some growing pains here. Yep. You got a new quarterback. You got two new starters on the offensive line. You know, it was the first week. And again, it's just really hard to. I don't want to say it's nitpicking, but I just think that this is. It's really hard. We're getting a lot of questions that are a little bit negative about a 72-point win and 700 total yards of offense, and a lot of freshmen played well. I just wonder. I don't quite understand. I think you got to give them a little bit of time to gel. The 2005 team. That won the Big Ten title. They weren't that great in the first three games. They played all at home. I mean, it's a young team, and they're going to get better. That's the only way I think you can look at it.
Enjoy the fact that they're fast. Any questions about, like, do you see how football fast this team played? Now, granted, it was against Idaho, but this is a very fast football team. Enjoy that.
All right.
Keep moving on.
Let's move on. Let's move on to Pat in Cheshire, Connecticut. Hello, Keystone Sports team. I'm seeing a lot of predictions for the season where they predict a loss at Iowa and Michigan State. The logic that is used is that the games have been close with Iowa, so Penn State's due to lose. Then they use the exact opposite logic for Michigan State. They say it's a loss because Penn State can't beat Michigan State.
I have them beating Michigan State, so I don't know what this Connecticut fella is talking about. but I think that
I get his point, though.
I do.
People look at Iowa's been giving Penn State trouble in their games, but losing, so they're due to win. But shouldn't the reverse also be said? Penn State, Michigan State seems to have gotten Penn State's number, but they were close games. Is not Penn State due to win that one?
Sure. I think that's the point. I think it's a tough schedule. I really do, and I think that the road schedule is it doesn't do Penn State any favors when you go to at Ohio State, at Iowa, at Michigan State, and at Ohio State. Did I say Ohio State? Yeah. It's a tough schedule, so they're going to win. I think they're going to win one or two games that maybe people don't think they're going to win. I like their chances at home against Michigan, and I like their chances at Michigan State. That's going to be a defensive war. But I just think that Penn State has more weapons on offense, and I think they're the better team.
You're going to pass on that one, Andrew.
Yeah. All right. There's a lot of schedule ahead of them, but I don't. Here's the thing. They're going to have a bad game or two, right? It's who they have that bad game against. And when's the last time that you say they played a really good game against Michigan State?
Okay. We got to get to a good question.
You are listening to the Keys. Oh, my goodness. You are speaking of negative, Bob.
I'm just saying.
You are listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by thetailgatecorner.com. Remember, check them out at the Emporium in the Nittany Mall this weekend. All right. Let's try The Riz from Princeton, New Jersey. Sir Ross, enjoy hearing you do the play-by-play for the Eagles preseason. So it's a shout-out to Ross. Here's his question. My question's about Justin Shorter. Why are we not hearing anything about him? I'm scared to get my hopes up about him because I don't want this to become another Sterling Jenkins situation.
Yeah, man. So the reason you haven't heard about him is that they redshirted him last year. He was injured early. he obviously did some things in August when the media was not available to watch, but I thought he was a standout in week one.
I agree.
The way that he caught the ball, the way that he ran after the catch, and we didn't really talk a lot about the intelligent play he made to shield that defender on Devin Ford's run.
Great.
A lot of young players would get so excited they probably would have blocked that guy in the back and would have negated the touchdown. There was no question. That was an A effort from Justin Shorter. I know that he didn't face some really good players, but I thought he was one of the best players on the field in week one.
The injury hindered his development at the college level last year. He's just barely getting started. But
I think also I watched a couple other games where there wasn't even the hustle part of wide receivers. I saw wide receivers standing around. We did not see that with Penn State. That's a good sign about the wide receivers and about the coaching of the wide receivers.
Uh-oh. All right,
real quick, let's get in David from Lakewood Ranch, Florida. By the way, I emailed with David. He was safe from the hurricane this
week.
Real quick, he's asking about Ryan Day taking over for Urban Meyer. Do you guys think there'll be any drop-off with Ryan Day coaching as opposed to
Urban Meyer?
A little
bit, yeah. I don't think there's very few coaches on the planet that are as good at being a CEO as Urban Meyer.
All right.
Pick it, Bob.
I'm going to go with the Justin Shorter question. I've been a fan all year, and I'm glad he finally showed up, and I think it's only the beginning.
All right, that was from The Riz in Princeton. We'll be contacting you. All right, stick around for quarter number four. We're going to be looking ahead, previewing Buffalo.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh, yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.